Ring Business puts you in control with protection that's flexible, secure, and easy to set up. And with no long-term contracts required, you can change your setup whenever your business needs change. Protect your business with powerful features designed to keep you in complete control. Get round-the-clock audio-video recording for nonstop protection. Stop scrolling through hours of footage. Find almost any events efficiently with AI search. Keep an eye on up to 4 camera feeds at once across all your locations for total peace of mind. Get trained security professionals to monitor your business around the clock and request emergency when needed. Ring Business is easy to install yourself or let our professional installers do it for you. With Ring keeping your business secure, you can focus on what matters most, running it. Ring Business, business security that works for you. Compatible subscription required. Additional restrictions apply. Visit the Ring Business page on r.com for more information.
En la obra, el tiempo vale oro. Por eso en Lowe's tenemos ProBlock Quick Dry Primer hecho por Sherwin-Williams. Diseñado para los pros con aplicación uniforme, tiempos de secado rápido y resultados impecables. Disponible en base de aceite o agua. Ordena en línea antes de las 2 p.m. y recibe entrega gratis el mismo día. Lowe's. Nosotros ayudamos. Tú ahorras. Pedidos hechos después de las 2 p.m. se entregan al día siguiente. Válido en códigos postales selectos. Sujeto a disponibilidad de conductores. Aplican más términos.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
All right, rocking and rolling today on a Thursday. It is Chiefs week here in Buffalo. You know what that means, right? What does it mean? It means the Kansas City Chiefs are coming. That's really what it means. I mean, might mean different if it's Miami week or New England week, but a little different here. Somebody asked me. I was on a podcast, or actually doing our podcast. It's always game day in Buffalo with Matt Bove. And we actually had Josh Klingler on. He is the sideline reporter of the Chiefs, and we talked about this. And I was also asked on another radio program in Kansas City about this as well, which is basically, like, where are the Chiefs, like, in the rivalry kind of pecking order for Bills fans? And I thought it was a really interesting question. Actually, you know what? It wasn't even – I was on a station, Joe Kelly, in – do you say Regina or Regina? Saskatchewan. How do you say it?
I would – I'm definitely not going to have the right answer. I say Regina, I think.
Okay. I was on a radio show in Saskatchewan, and the host was a Bills fan. They brought me on for this week, and he said, like, where do the Chiefs rank? Like, are they the big rival now for the Bills? How would you answer that?
I would say yes. They're definitely the rival I feel is the strongest with the Bills, right? Because, I mean, we talked about it a couple weeks ago when the Dolphins were playing, like, looking back on who the rival is for ages of Bills fans. I definitely Kansas City. They're the team that's constantly gotten in the way of the Bills. Basically, they're 15 minutes away from the Super Bowl last year, and they couldn't tie it up 13 seconds. Like, it is Kansas City for me, at least. Just
okay,
all
so,
these named games after losses to them, you know?
Right. All right. So I'm gonna disagree because I think the word rival matters here, right? Like, what does that mean? To me, it's not their rival, it's their barrier, right? I know that there's a rivalry between, like, and how maybe the rest of the country looks at Allen and Mahomes, but Allen hasn't gotten to a Super Bowl yet, and Mahomes has several of them, and he has rings. They both have MVPs, and I do think that there's a, yes, you play them twice a year, essentially, once in the regular season, once in the playoffs, that's what happens, and you can build rivalries that way. To me, it's not as much of a rivalry like that, though. To me, it's more of a barrier. It's the boogeyman, right? Hey, it's Halloween, baby, right? They're the boogeyman. That's who they are, the Kansas City Chiefs, to me. They're not the rival. The rival is still Well, it'll always be the Dolphins for me. I think Dolphins and Patriots are still bigger rivals to Bills fans. I think the Chiefs are more the boogeyman and the barrier.
Yeah, I could definitely get behind that. The Patriots, for sure. Just most of my life, just remembering back to that, it was just dominance over the Bills. So there was no, like, rivalry. It's like calling the Bills-Dolphins is always a rivalry, but the current state of them, the Dolphins have, like, they've only won one game in the past, like, 13. So it's, like, tough to call that a rivalry. But, yeah, I can totally get behind that. The Chiefs are the boogeyman. That's very Halloween-centric.
You like that, right? All right, so listen, we are Halloween-centric today. If you come by Northtown Kia, that's where I am, because we have some scary good treats for you, if you will, at Northtown Kia. 3900 Sheridan Drive in Amherst. A lot of times you don't hear me on a Thursday. Sal Capaccio with you on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. That's because today is a special day. I am here at Northtown Kia. We do the show here a couple different times during every football season. Had a show out here. It was right before the season started. And now we're doing another one here before the Bills take on the Kansas City Chiefs coming up on Sunday. 3900 Sheridan Drive in Amherst. Come on by. We have a lot going on here today, including WGR merch that you can walk away with. Yep, you can spin the wheel. We got T-shirts and bags and coffee mugs and candy. Candy. All right, so come on by. You can do that. Paula's Donuts. Oh, who doesn't love a good Paula's Donuts, right? They're sitting over there, and I'm like, man, I need to go grab one now, but I can't because I'm talking with you on the radio. But you can grab one if you walk down here. You come on down here and walk inside, I should say. You might not want to walk down. It is raining. So drive down. Come on in. And, of course, check out their entire lineup of cars, vehicles. Western New York's number one sales volume Kia dealer. Great certified pre-owned Kia. Check it out. All right, all of them. 4,500 Google reviews over that, averaging a 4.8-star rating. Northtown Kia is Western New York's favorite place for a certified pre-owned Kia. So come on down. Say hi. I'm here. We can chat a little bit. You can listen to the show a little bit. And you can hear, also, on the show, Tracy Wolfson. That's right, CBS sideline reporter. Tracy Wolfson, who does so many things, not just football. She's on the sidelines and the court for so many games, big-time moments on CBS Sports. And she's calling the game this week with Jim Nantz and Tony Romo. That's going to happen on Sunday afternoon at 4:25 p.m. So come on down. You can hear Tracy Wolfson as well. She'll be on, she's not here with me. She's going to be on the phone line. But she'll be here this weekend for Bills Chiefs in Orchard Park. That's going to happen at 10:30. So we got Tracy Wolfson at 10:30. At 11 a.m., speaking of CBS, the Rochester CBS affiliate, Thad Brown, WROC-TV in Rochester. He's going to join me. And, of course, every week, most weeks, I'm on Bills Kickoff Live with Thad and Josh Reed and Matt Perino and Tim Graham and Carl Jones. So we're going to talk Bills and Chiefs with him and this entire Bills season. And some interesting stuff that was said yesterday by Sean McDermott, I thought, during the pre-practice press conference that we can discuss on what that means for the Bills and lineup going forward. So we'll do that as well. And, of course, Paul Hamilton at 11:30. I say, of course, because the Sabres have a game tonight. Sabres at Bruins tonight. And I agree with what Paul said a little while ago, Joe. Sabres can't lose. If you're going to be a serious team about the playoffs, you can't lose to the Bruins twice to start this year. Come on. What are we doing, right?
Yeah, it's been called a must-win by Jeremy White all morning as well. And I would concur at this point. You have to be able to dismantle the Bruins, especially the state they're in this season. It is a must-win.
Yeah, I agree. So the Sabres take on the Bruins tonight. Of course, we'll have that game for you on WGR Sports Radio 550. So make sure that you are tuned in for that and tuned in today as we talk Bills and Chiefs. All right, Joe. So I was kind of setting you up, too, and what I want to ask you is, what's the first Bills-Chiefs game you remember?
First Bills-Chiefs game I remember?
You don't have to go to it. Just one you watch. Could be on the road. Could be at home. Doesn't matter.
I remember the, I guess the one that's the most memorable in my mind. I know I've seen other ones. I can't like pinpoint an exact thought on them, though. The AFC Championship. I remember sitting there watching that game, the first one in 2020.
Oh, the COVID year.
The COVID year. And thinking, wow, like what this team is just seems unbeatable. And I was happy the Bills were even just in the dance in the AFC Championship at that point, 2 years after drafting Josh Allen. But it's, it felt just so out of sorts, like they had no chance in it because the Chiefs were just so dominant in that game. And I don't know, that's the one that comes to mind first for me. I've seen Alex Smith on the Chiefs, don't get me wrong. I just don't remember specific matchups between the Bills and the Chiefs like prior to that, I guess.
That's interesting because I understand, like, I'm much older than you. I mean, I'm an old man at this point in my life, and I understand that. But, man, you only 2020, that's crazy because I know that's kind of when this whole thing started, right, with the Bills and the Chiefs and Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. I get all that, and that's kind of where we are. What's funny is, like, if you're of a certain age like me, okay, who is a little bit older, this goes back. It's not just Bills. Yes, I know the rivalry now. These two teams matched up multiple times in the playoffs in the Super Bowl years. Did you know that? Like, are you aware of that history?
Yeah, I'm aware of the history. I don't, like, you know, of course I wasn't around to see it. I don't remember it.
Right.
So.
But I don't know if people realize, but in the Super Bowl years for the Bills, and of course, I mean, like, 1990 through 93, the Bills and Chiefs actually matched up several times in the regular season in games that meant a lot and, you know, wound up meaning a lot or went one way, and in the playoffs. And I mean, I remember going back when neither team was good. You go back to the mid-80s, the Bills and the Chiefs both kind of stunk. And in fact, Joe, the Bills had, in the mid-80s, the Bills had a streak of, like, an NFL record losing road streak. Like, they lost the most straight road games of any team. They were that bad. And I believe they won in Kansas City to break that streak in the mid-80s. That's how bad the Chiefs were at the time.
Yeah.
So the Bills had this, like, long road losing streak. They go to Kansas City. They win in Kansas City. In fact, I have this here. It would have been, let me look, November 30th of 1986. Bills win 17-14. And I believe that was the Bills' first road victory in like 2 years.
Wow.
Crazy, right?
Yeah, that's insane. That's crazy to think about. First road victory in 2 years. Insane.
Do you want to know what's even more insane? Think about this. You know how we talk now about these two teams play twice a year, regular season and playoffs, right? They're not in the same division, right?
Yeah.
You know what happened in 1986? They literally played twice in the regular season.
Really?
And they're not in the same division, and they weren't then either. The NFL schedule was really quirky back then, and there were only like 28 teams, not 32, and you had 16 games. And the Bills and Chiefs matched up twice in the regular season in 1986, and the Bills lost the first one at home in September, 20-17, and then they go to Kansas City and win in November, 17-14.
Wow, so now it's once in the regular season, once in the playoffs,
yeah,
but it's kind
right.
of, it's a reverse narrative. Chiefs, the Bills normally get the first one and the Chiefs get the second one. It's kind of crazy.
All right, so then we get to the Super Bowl years, okay? And the Chiefs were this team where the Bills had a few Monday night games in those Super Bowl years where they just got just pounded on. The Steelers were one. The Steelers did it to them like twice, okay? And then the Chiefs did it once. 1991. This is a Bills, you know, going to the Super Bowl, and then the next year they go to Kansas City, and Christian Okoye was a really good running back for the Chiefs. 122 yards and 2 touchdowns. Another guy named Harvey Williams, 103 yards. They had two dudes go for over 100 yards rushing. They ran for like close to 250 that night against the Bills. The Bills got completely annihilated and pounded. And Joe, I remember being a college student at the time. It sounded kind of like it does now in Buffalo on sports talk radio. Now, we didn't have social media back then, but we did have Art Wander on the air and John Murphy was doing a show. And I remember 1991, Bills going to the Chiefs that year and getting pounded 33-6 on Monday Night Football on national TV. What do you think the reaction was on Tuesday morning? What do you think the talk radio sounded like on WGR and WBEN?
I can only imagine. It was just pretty much like they need help. The sky was falling in a way.
Of course. And you know what was funny? That was their first loss in their first six games. They were 5-0 until that game. They lose, and everybody's like, well, you see, you can't play with the big boys, and yeah, enjoy the Super Bowl. But Kansas City, this is a great example of it's a long season, anything can happen. And Kansas City that year winds up then later, by the way, that same year, okay, coming to Buffalo in the playoffs, 1992, January 5th, 1992, the Kansas City Chiefs come to Buffalo in the playoffs. And Joe, after what happened in that first game when the Bills got completely destroyed by Christian Okoye on Monday Night Football, national television, later that year, the Chiefs come to Buffalo in the playoffs. What do you think happened then?
The Bills, did they completely beat the brakes off of them?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
I mean, it was 37-7 in garbage time.
Whoa.
Before the Chiefs scored another touchdown.
That's crazy.
Right?
Talk about a turn of events. Yeah, jeez.
I mean,
flip
the script. And in that game, it was Jim Kelly throwing for 273 and three touchdowns. He also threw three interceptions. Back then, that was kind of common, though. Way more than now. Like, the great quarterbacks then, like, do you know Jim Kelly? So what's a high completion percentage now in the NFL? What's a high completion percentage in the NFL? What's a low completion percentage? What does a guy need to be at for you to go, yeah, that's okay right now in the NFL, you think?
65 to 70, I'd say.
Okay,
right?
Cool.
Kind of in there.
I'm gonna blow your brain.
Okay.
Blow your brain here with this, okay? I'm gonna blow your mind with this, okay? Jim Kelly in 1990 led the NFL with a 63.3 completion percentage.
Whoa. Led the NFL
with a 63.3 percentage.
Who was it? Do you know? I don't know if you have everyone in front of you, but who was at the low? Like, I can only imagine if Kelly's leading at 63%.
It's a good question. Let me look at that. Hold on. I'm going to look at it right now. Jim Kelly, completion percentage. I will have to look at that. I'll find it here in just one second.
Okay.
Isn't that crazy, though?
Yeah, 63%. I mean, even today, like, you could look at it and be like, oh, that was okay. But the fact that it was leading the NFL, that's the astonishing part of it all.
Okay, pass completion percentage. Okay, Jim Kelly, 1990, led the NFL at, I think it's amazing, 63.3, right? Okay, here we go. I got to find this. Passes intercepted. There we go. View all players in this category that year. Here we go. Kelly, completion percentage. Next was Warren Moon at 62. Joe Montana at 61. No one else. No other qualifiers were over 60%.
Whoa. That's unbelievable.
So the guys who are the normal like quarterbacks, the qualifiers, right?
Right.
Boomer Esiason, 55%.
What?
Vinny Testaverde, 55%. Jim Everett, 55%. Ken O'Brien of the Jets, 55%. Is this wild or what?
That is wild. It shows you how much the game's like truly changed.
The game has so much changed. So changed.
Like just even
Kelly actually didn't, I mean, you look at it now, like he was 24-9 for TDs interception, which wasn't bad, but even that, like TDs, two guys had 30 TDs. That's it. Warren Moon and Randall Cunningham. How much has this game changed, right?
Yeah, I mean, look at Allen.
Incredible.
I know his are passing and rushing, but he's on the streak of 40-plus per season. Like, that's unbelievable, you know?
It's amazing to think about. So that year, the Chiefs do come to Buffalo, and they lose in the playoffs, and that's 1992. And that's 1991 season. Mark Vlasic and Steve DeBerg were the quarterbacks for the Chiefs. All right, so let's do a little history here. Then you go to the next year, okay? The Bills again go to Kansas City in 1993. In November of 1993, they go to Kansas City, and they get stomped on again. 23-7, the final score, okay? Jim Kelly, 214 yards passing. Joe freaking Montana throws for 208 for the Kansas City Chiefs, all right? And they run, what is it, Marcus Allen and Joe Montana on the same team. That was crazy when you think about back then. So, again, that year, there you go there. And then what happens in the playoffs? So the Bills, it was the reverse. You know how these days it's like Bills can beat the Chiefs in the regular season, but the Chiefs beat the Bills in the playoffs, right? That's what we talk about.
Right, yeah.
It was totally reversed back then. So in 1991, the Bills go to Kansas City and get trounced. They come back home. They beat the Chiefs in the playoffs. 1993, the Bills go to Kansas City, get hammered 23-7. They come back in the playoffs. This is now the AFC Championship game. What do you think happens? You know what happens.
Oh, yeah. The script flips again.
30-13 this time.
They blow
30-13.
It's so weird, okay? How history's repeating itself almost in, like, it's like bizarro history, though. Like, it's the total.
Yeah,
opposite.
It is. It's incredible. And by the way, that's the game, people might remember this. This is the game that Bruce Smith just destroyed Joe Montana, and he was out for the rest of the game. And people think that ended Montana's career. It didn't. Montana played one more year. He did play one more year, but Montana starts this game, and then Dave Craig comes in for him later in the game. And I remember being there. I remember being there for that game and for these games. Pretty crazy. And then after that, the Bills just kind of took care of the Chiefs for the next several years. And then they went back and forth. And then we had a little period. If you remember, there were some games where, like, we're talking about the Doug Marrone years and the Rex Ryan. Chan Gailey, 2011. Chan Gailey's the head coach of the Bills. They open the season at Kansas City, and the Bills win 41-7. Then they come back, and that's the game, Joe, and you've seen the clips and highlights. You might know a little bit of it. That's the those are the games where the Bills beat the Raiders on the fifth scream at the end of the game, and then the Bills beat the Patriots in week three, and that's the Fred Jackson on the field with the flag and everybody going crazy.
Yeah.
That's that year.
Yeah, I remember – I do remember, like, family get-togethers and, like,
yes.
Like, I can't – I was nine, so, like, I struggle to put together, like, exact memories of it, but I do have a memory of those games for sure. And then
man,
it
I love
all
it.
Fell
so
apart
I love,
from there.
Yeah, I love thinking about this stuff and the nostalgia. And listen, part of it is – this is the last time, maybe, it is definitely the last regular season time, that the Kansas City Chiefs will come to Buffalo and play inside Highmark Stadium. And I was asked this week, somebody asked me this week, when it comes to the new stadium, like, are you more sentimental about the old stadium or looking forward to the new? And I'm like, I guess at different times it's both. When I see the new stadium, I go to it. I've done some tours. I've been inside. I'm like, man, I cannot wait for this new stadium. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be incredible. But at the same time, you're trying to really kind of it's kind of like your kids, right? When you have kids. I have a son. He's 11. It goes by so fast. People know what I'm talking about. When you have a kid that goes by so fast, you want to savor every moment, but it goes by quick. That's what I'm trying to do this year with this stadium. It is the last time the Chiefs are coming in. And I'm not thinking about all the Chiefs games of the past inside this stadium. I am thinking about the history of these two teams, but it is going by quick. And it is the last time you might see the Chiefs inside Highmark unless they play in the playoffs against the Buffalo Bills when they come back for this game. And it is a big, big game. Why is it big? Because you take a look at the standings, folks, all right? I could make the argument, Joe, that this game is bigger for the Kansas City Chiefs than it is for the Bills. Would you agree with that or no?
I could definitely see that because of their division. They could technically be behind two teams they're playing catch up with.
They already are behind two teams.
Yeah.
Yes.
So the Bills are only behind the Patriots. And
correct.
Schedule wise, they have a couple common opponents. Things could shake out. But the Kansas City Chiefs, this is technically a must win. We're calling the Sabres Bruins a must win. It's a must win for the Chiefs for sure because they kind of have to get the jump on the other two teams in their division. And the Broncos are playing hot right now.
And they still play each other twice, Kansas City and Denver.
Yeah, they haven't touched each other yet.
They still play the Chargers, and they've lost to the Chargers. So look at it this way from a Kansas City. Let's just flip it around. Let's say that we're on in Kansas City radio right now. You're talking about if the Chiefs drop this game going to 5-4, being with two teams ahead of them in the standings, and even if you have the same record as the Bills, it won't matter at the end if the Bills win their division and you don't. You know what I mean? Like, the head-to-head won't come into play unless you're both division winners.
Right.
Because if the Bills are the division winner and the Chiefs are a wild card and they both have the same record, the Bills still host because they'll be the higher seed. It doesn't matter. So for Kansas City, I could make the argument that this is a bigger game for the Kansas City Chiefs than it is for the Buffalo Bills. Now, I'm not saying it's not big for the Bills. It is absolutely monstrous for the Bills because they have a team called the New England Patriots right now in front of them who looks like they're rolling, and their schedule is very conducive for them to continue to roll. They're 6-2. The Bills are 5-2. Now, we will know, let me make sure on this on my schedule here, we will know before the Bills, yep, and the Chiefs play, what the result is of the New England game. If the Patriots beat the Falcons, okay, which they're favored in that game, if the Patriots beat the Falcons, the Patriots are suddenly 7-2, the Bills are 5-2 and facing the Chiefs. Now you know that if the Bills lose the game, they drop to 5-3 with the Patriots at 7-2 and the head-to-head. It gets tough from there. You have to beat New England when you play them, and you got to have them drop at least one more game just to have a sniff at it for the division, right? Because you're – and that's you taking care of your own business. And the Bills' schedule after Kansas City is not the lightest – that we thought it was coming into the year. The Dolphins looked pretty darn good last week, and now they get the Ravens tonight, and they get, by the way, 10 days to get ready for the Bills.
Yeah, and they played the Bills tough a couple weeks ago, so
it's
always a tough matchup. No matter what Miami looks like, divisional games, we saw it with the Patriots too when they were kind of at the bottom. Kind of gave Drake May kind of gave him a run last season, and of course this season, look what happened. So divisional games, you can never predict. Anything can happen.
And then you have the Bucs come in here, and we know the Bucs look really good. Then the Texans, Texans' defense is really, really good. Steelers' defense is not, but it is the Steelers. It's at Pittsburgh. You get Cincinnati, and they can put up points on the board. Then you get New England again, a Cleveland defense that's great. Philadelphia, I mean, it's the Super Bowl champs. And then the Jets at the end. I mean, suddenly this schedule that we were looking at the beginning of the year and going, oh, yeah, Bills have a lot of opportunity. Well, they got to take care of some business now against some tough teams, some tougher teams. than we thought. Tracy Wolfson on the other side, CBS Sports. She'll be on the call on the sidelines with Jim Nance and Tony Romo on Sunday, the Northtown Extra Point Show, Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, live from Northtown Kia today. Sal Capaccio with you, 3900 Sheridan Drive in Amherst. Come on by. Well, thank you so much to so many of you who have tweeted me at Sal Sports to let me know it is Regina, Regina, Saskatchewan, not Regina. I didn't know. I didn't know exactly.
Ring Business puts you in control with protection that's flexible, secure, and easy to set up. No long-term contracts required, just security on your terms. Take control of your business security with Ring Business. Get 24/7 audio video recording to capture everything and look for specific moments efficiently with smart AI search. Install it easily yourself or let our pros do it for you. With Ring keeping your business secure, you can focus on what matters most, running it. Compatible subscription required. Additional restrictions apply. Visit the Ring Business page on r.com for more information.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This podcast is brought to you by Kleenex Lotion Tissues. You can't predict sick days, but with Kleenex Lotion Tissues, you can be better prepared for them while helping keep your skin healthy. Whether it's a surprise sneeze or a stuffy nose, it's always good to have something gentle on hand. Kleenex Lotion Tissues moisturize to help prevent skin irritation while you're battling those unwanted cold and flu symptoms. It's extra care when you need it most. I mean, why not have one less thing to worry about when you're not feeling your best? For whatever happens next, grab Kleenex.
I couldn't pronounce it. I was on a radio station up in Saskatchewan with some Bills fans. The host is a Bills fan. And we're talking about, you know, the World Series and all that, too. And I didn't know when I said it which way it was. And I'm going to welcome in Tracy Wolfson right now. CBS Sports, always a pleasure to talk to Tracy. She's on the call this Sunday. Bills Chiefs, 4:25 p.m. in Orchard Park with Jim Nance and Tony Romo. Good morning. Always great to talk with you.
Hey, definitely not going there with what you guys were just talking about. So I'll let you decide how to pronounce
okay
that city.
That city, I totally get it. But I'm like, I didn't want to disrespect the city or anything like that. Apparently, this is Saskatchewan's capital, right? But it just goes to show you, Bills fans everywhere. And, of course, you've seen this evolution, Tracy. And we've been talking about the evolution of the rivalry, if you want to call it that, between the Chiefs and the Bills. And, you know, this just resonates so much. It's why you're here this weekend. It's why you and Jim and Tony have done so many of these games. What's it been like from your standpoint, from the outside, and then coming and watching in Kansas City, in Buffalo, regular season playoffs, watching these two organizations go at it so often?
Yeah, you know, this will be our 10th time doing one of these matchups, whether it's in the regular season or the postseason. And, you know, I mean, every time, you know, it's a big game. And certainly before, you know, the schedule even comes out, that's the game we target. That's the game that CBS wants. That's the game we go over or we go after. And that regular season game, I mean, we always assume, which you can't, that they'll wind up meeting in the postseason and we'll get that one. Although I think this year it could be different, right? But going into this one, you know, you just feel that energy. It's a big game. It's national everywhere. You know you're going to get two competitors that have history together. I was part of Brady rivalry, but not when Manning was with Indianapolis, more when he was with Denver. But, you know, it's very similar. You know, you look up, you know, to these games. They look up to each other. They, you know, and we know what entails every time these two teams come together. And every time we're in, whether it's Kansas City or Buffalo, you can feel it. The fans are into it. It's just a whole other level.
No doubt about that. And, of course, this year there's a little added bonus with the fact that this is the last scheduled Kansas City game inside this stadium, Highmark Stadium. You've been coming to this stadium for years. What are some of your thoughts about this stadium and the charm maybe of it, or how it is around the league with the fans being right on top of you and the atmosphere at Highmark Stadium?
Yeah, I mean, I absolutely love it. The fans in Buffalo, it doesn't get better than that. And honestly, Kansas City fans yes. are just as into it and on top of you. They both have these college feel to it, which I started my career in the SEC. And when you walk into those environments and those stadiums, that's how you feel. They're, like you said, they're right on top of you. Now, certainly, you know, as a reporter that's on the field like you for seven straight hours, depending when we get there. You know, a dome would be really nice. it's embracing the elements. It's what makes Buffalo, Buffalo. You know, I'm glad they opted not to do that. Certainly helps with home field advantage. But looking forward to experiencing the new stadium, but I'll miss this one because this one has, you know, a lot of uniqueness and charm to it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, I'm glad you brought it up, you know, 7 hours on the field and what happens and the fact that it's not just, hey, as a reporter, as a sideline reporter, as a broadcaster, you don't just, you know, obviously show up and you're there for 3 hours. But let's kind of walk through your week. I don't know if I've ever asked you. I'd like you to kind of educate my listeners a little bit on what your week is like when you prepare for a national broadcast, when you know you're going to get this game, when you start preparing for it, and how that week shapes for you.
Yeah, I mean, I started kind of just like, you know, you're always watching both of these two teams, no matter what. So you're also, you know, following along, taking some notes, you know, maybe saving some articles you see that might be, you know, that's something that we might be able to use during these games, just to keep yourself up on it. You know, we haven't had Buffalo since the Jets game. We just had Kansas City, but it was against Oakland, so certainly different. For me, no matter whether it's a national game, a Super Bowl game, or just an interconference game, it doesn't matter, league game, who cares? It's going to be still, you're going to go about your preparation exactly the same because you're just preparing for a game. And you don't think about how many people are watching. Now, certainly you think about your audience and gearing it towards them a little bit more, but it's a national game, so you also have to gear it towards those that are just tuning in that maybe don't know a lot about the Chiefs or the Bills, or aren't following them week in and week out. You know, when you get those 1 o'clockers, certainly you're going to get more of those Chiefs-Bills fans watching, which is very rare. We would probably never have this game at a 1 o'clock game. But, right. You know, I think, you know, the preparation really starts. For me, I get so excited with the prep. I look forward to that. And I started on my red eye home from Denver on Sunday night, which is not really a red eye either. Ian Eagle calls it a pink eye, and he's so right. It's about 3.5 hours at the most. And so, you know, I started then, you know, you start reading a lot. I follow you and all the beat reporters at Buffalo and all the beat reporters at Kansas City, because you guys are the one with boots on the ground day in and day out and really know what's happening at where I've been dealing with, you know, another game the prior week. And so that's really what it is. It's just research, finding the stories, finding the angles. What are the key stats that you're going to be looking towards? And then we meet with the coaches. We meet with the players. You talk to players on the side. I'll talk to players during the week on my own on phone. And then we'll meet with the teams when we get in or via Zoom this year. This week we're going to have a little bit of a mix just because of people's schedules. You meet with coaches. You meet with the players, star players. And that's where you get so much of your information because we read about it a lot. But we also just don't want to regurgitate what someone else is writing. We want to follow up, hear it from the horse's mouth, really get what they have to say and if they can expand on anything. So when we're out there reporting, we can say, I spoke with Josh Allen and he told me this. And so that's really what it looks like. We'll go to dinner and can't wait. We've got a great dinner lined up in Buffalo, always.
Always.
And then Saturday, we'll do same when the when Kansas City comes in. We'll meet with them, and then we'll have our production meeting, which always entails kind of prepping, you know, the opening of our show, what kind of video elements we'll use, graphics we'll use, what are our storylines we want to get into. And then, you know, you basically head out, like we talked about, 4 hours before the game and do some last-minute research, last-minute communication with people, maybe some hits for the studio show. We have our studio coming out this week, which is going to be awesome. And that's kind of what it is. It's like Groundhog Day. I do that basically every week, and it rarely changes. It doesn't even matter depending on the game.
Give me a storyline that you're interested in from the Buffalo angle this week, and then one from the Kansas City angle that you've talked about, you've looked at, and you guys will be asking about.
Yeah, like I said, I'm definitely still working through everything. I think, you know, defensively for the Bills, I mean, that's kind of a topic of conversation right now. Sifting through that, and certainly read about, you know, Sean taking a little bit more of the play calling recently. You know, the injuries on the defensive side of the ball, the defensive line, where it's at. You know, it's not an out-of-the-box story, but certainly a big storyline going into the game. And in games like this, you're not finding the out-of-the-box stories because you're probably not going to have time to tell them. If it doesn't relate to the game specifically, if it doesn't relate to the storylines or the X's and O's, or then you're not, you know, you're probably not getting in. The game's going to just be too good. I always love to hear from each other, you know, from both teams, the rivalry, the importance. And I think this game in particular, because neither team is leading their division for the first time, there's a lot at stake there, and maybe a lot more at stake than ever before, because you go into those games and the mentality is we'll see them again. And I think in the post-game interview, always the quarterback, whether it's Josh or Patrick, is telling me that. I know usually, you know, Josh during these regular season games, but are telling me that they'll, you know, I'm sure we'll see each other again. We don't know, right? We have no idea. Yep. There's so many other players more so than ever in this race. So I think a conversation about that, certainly where the Chiefs are right now, clicking on all cylinders, they're having fun. They're getting back to where they were maybe even before Tyreek, right? Maybe even before this rivalry, you know, really took shape. I don't even know. Maybe the best, you know, maybe this is the most complete game team we've seen from the Chiefs. We'll hear it from them, you know, where they are right now at this point of the season. And so I think, you know, those are really two things that stand out. Certainly, you know, losing Pacheco, if he can't play, is will hurt, but, you know, they can run the ball in other ways. So, you know, I think that's, and that's something they will have to exploit if they want to take advantage of Buffalo. And so, those are a few kind of things that come, you know, right to the forefront of my mind. But to be honest, once you start talking to these coaches and players, really more comes out. Right? And you have so many storylines. I'm talking to Chris Jones later today. I always love to ask him and love to ask Vags, how do you get Josh down, right? How do you tackle him? How do you bring him down? Because we know, especially in these games, he likes to take, you know, the whole team on his shoulders, and he's going to do whatever he can to win this game. And so, you know, number one is containing Josh Allen. And so I always love to hear from Spags and from, you know, Chris Jones. I think Mike Dana called him a lumberjack this week. You know, I mean, it's always great to hear the descriptions when it comes to Josh Allen.
Last one, before I let you go, I appreciate your time. Big picture, AFC, Indy's at the top. New England is up there. Denver's up there. It's not the same cast of characters we've been seeing the last few years with Buffalo and Baltimore and usually Cincinnati. What do you make of this AFC from what you've seen so far and how competitive it is?
It is absolutely wild. And you know the crazy thing? We have yet to see Indy or New England. So we are going into November, and the two top teams in the AFC we have yet to see, which just goes to show you they were not on our radar going into the year. And, you know, we've got them. We had the Baltimores and the Cincies and the Pittsburghs, which are still in the mix. We'll see what happens, right? And, of course, you guys and the Chiefs. And so we will see New England next week against Tampa Bay. It won't be an AFC matchup, but certainly will be a competitive matchup. It'll be great to kind of get a feel for this New England team. And there's a very good chance we've got that Indy-Kansas City game coming up, which will be certainly a barometer of where both teams are at and how they, you know, maybe, you know, a preview of what we'll see in the playoffs. And so a lot could change. I mean, I think looking at Indy, they really have not had a difficult schedule. They have a much more difficult, maybe the third highest, most difficult schedule going forward. So to see, you know, if they can keep it up, I've been really impressed with Shane Steichen and what he's put together. Daniel Jones, Jonathan Taylor, their offense looks explosive. And then certainly New England. Mike Vrabel, one of my favorite coaches to be around. Really proud of what he's been able to do there. And we'll see them next week. So looking forward to that. This race is going to be awesome. It really is. I think there's a lot of unknowns, but I think a lot will ride on this game as well in terms of seeding down the stretch.
I'm curious, does tonight's game, like the result, let's say Baltimore, if Baltimore wins tonight against Miami, does that impact kind of what happens with you guys and your schedule and how CBS kind of treats what maybe happens over the next several weeks?
Yeah, I mean, it always impacts it because we really just kind of know the next, you know, we always know our 425s, yep. But we have a Baltimore game coming up later on this season in Maryland. And I'm going to assume it's Pittsburgh. I don't really remember who they're playing because it's a little far away. It's, you know, end of November. But yes, right? If they lose to Miami, that could definitely change. There could be right. another, you know, matchup on that schedule that, you know, we could be seeing. I think maybe that same weekend might be Jacksonville Indy, which, okay. You know, when you think of market size, and I'm just speaking, you know, I don't know anything, but when you think of market size, you think, okay, that Baltimore-Pittsburgh game or whatever, whoever Baltimore's playing will probably get more, you know, more eyeballs. But that Jacksonville Indy game, because Jacksonville's still somewhat in the mix, could be really good too, right? So, yes. Yeah. Every game means something. Our 425s are basically set. Certainly there could be some mixing and matching. And it's not only us, by the way, right? You got Sunday night, you got Thursday night, you know, even Monday night. They can go and switch around. They got to give some advance notice, but they could switch things around and take something from us. So, you know, I do think we feel comfortable with where we're at the next few weeks, and we've got some incredible matchups coming up on CBS.
No doubt, including, obviously, Sunday, 4:25 p.m. on CBS. Jim Nance, Tony Romo, and the great Tracy Wolfson. Thanks a lot for your time. Now, listen, I know where I'm going every week. You don't, so, I mean, that's crazy that you do that. But I do know you're going to have a great dinner in Buffalo, no matter where you go, because you always do. And I know there's some great restaurants here. So enjoy your time here. Enjoy your dinner. And, obviously, we'll see you on the field for the game.
I have one question. What's the weather report?
Okay, that's great. So I will have... I will have Patrick Hammer on tomorrow. He's from our NBC affiliate here. He's does the weather every Friday, but we were talking about it last week, and I've been looking. I think we're going to be between 45 and 50 degrees.
Okay.
Little slight chance of rain maybe, but I think we're going to be okay as far as precipitation, between 45 and 50 degrees, mostly cloudy.
Okay. All right. I'll take that.
You'll take it, right?
Thank you. Yep. I appreciate it.
You got it. Now you know how to dress.
And
listen, if you don't bring the raincoat and it rains, I'm sorry then I gave you bad information. If it starts snowing, I definitely gave you bad information, but I think we're going to be okay.
You never know in Buffalo, though.
That's exactly right. Hey, great to talk to you, and I'll see you on Sunday on the field. Thank you.
See you there. Thanks. Goodbye.
All right, you got it. That is Tracy Wolfson, CBS. They have the game, and we're going to talk with Thad Brown, WROC-TV in Rochester, CBS Sports, coming up just a little while, 11 o'clock, right here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR. All right, Bills Chiefs, Sunday, 4:25 p.m. This is a big game, I agree. Tracy said, you know, there might be more at stake in this game than there has been in recent Bills Chiefs regular season games, and I agree with that because... You look, the Bills are looking up at the standings of the Patriots. The Chiefs are looking up at the standings of both the Chargers and the Broncos. The loser of this game is going to have it's going to be very hard for them to get, get to the one seed for sure. But even then, just to have a home game by winning your division. Like, it becomes harder to win the division. I think if the Bills lose this game, if the Patriots win and the Bills lose, suddenly the Bills are no longer the favorites probably in the AFC East. They still are, by the way. They still are the favorites because they're only one game back and they play the Patriots. But I think if the Patriots beat Atlanta, the Bills lose, you're probably looking at a flip of, you know, the Bills not being the favorites to win the division at that point. As far as the Chiefs are concerned, you cannot drop another game in your division, drop another loss, and be behind two teams they already are in their division with Denver and L.A. Now, after this game, we all know the Bills next week go to Miami. The Patriots have the...
Spring Business puts you in control with protection that's flexible, secure, and easy to set up. And with no long-term contracts required, you can change your setup whenever your business needs change. Protect your business with powerful features designed to keep you in complete control. Get round-the-clock audio-video recording for nonstop protection. Stop scrolling through hours of footage. Find almost any events efficiently with AI search. Keep an eye on up to 4 camera feeds at once across all your locations for total peace of mind. Get trained security professionals to monitor your business around the clock and request emergency when needed. Ring Business is easy to install yourself or let our professional installers do it for you. With Ring keeping your business secure, you can focus on what matters most, running it. Ring Business, business security that works for you. Compatible subscription required. Additional restrictions apply. Visit the Ring Business page on r.com for more information.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This podcast is brought to you by Kleenex Lotion Tissues. You can't predict sick days, but with Kleenex Lotion Tissues, you can be better prepared for them while helping keep your skin healthy. Whether it's a surprise sneeze or a stuffy nose, it's always good to have something gentle on hand. Kleenex Lotion Tissues moisturize to help prevent skin irritation while you're battling those unwanted cold and flu symptoms. It's extra care when you need it most. I mean, why not have one less thing to worry about when you're not feeling your best? For whatever happens next, grab Kleenex.
They're by. Then they get the Broncos and Colts. I mean, you want to talk about, you know, big games for the Chiefs. I said the Patriots, I think. The Chiefs have their bye. Then it's Broncos and Colts. So a lot still to be decided here in the AFC. And it's all on Sunday in Orchard Park for the Bills and Chiefs. Tonight, Sabres take on the Boston Bruins. We'll talk with Paul Hamilton at 11:30. Thad Brown on the way next on WGR. Live from Northtown Kia, 3900 Sheridan Drive in Amherst. Sal Capaccio with you on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. All right, we are here at Northtown Kia. Western New York's number one Kia dealer, 3900 Sheridan Drive in Amherst. It is the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you. Still plenty of time to come on down, grab a Paula's Donut, some coffee. Got WGR swag, merch, whatever you want to call it there. Guess you can spin a wheel and walk home with something. You're going to get something. So come on down. And they need 25 Kia deals. Okay? Between now and soon. When is tomorrow? Now tomorrow. Halloween. 25 Kia deals between now and tomorrow. Halloween. That's right. So come on down and make this happen for me and for us, okay? 25 Kia deals here in 2025. Northtown Kia specializes in all credit situations, and Kia CPO vehicles are backed by a 10-year or 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty, starting from the original in-service date in 0 miles. Get peace of mind for every mile at Northtown Kia. Come on by. Say hi. Bills Chiefs, 4:25 p.m. In Orchard Park, Highmark Stadium, on CBS. We just heard from Tracy Wolfson. She'll be on the call with Jim Nantz and Tony Romo. And, of course, part of the CBS affiliate team in Rochester, WROC-TV, is our guy Thad Brown. He joins me now on the West Her Hotline. Good morning, buddy. How are you?
Morning, man. If I had known there were donuts, I would have done this in person. You should have let me know when you asked.
Yeah, well, hey, there you go. I'll bring you a donut next time I see you to make sure. They're very, very good, Paula's Donuts. All right, so Bills, Chiefs, 4:25 p.m. Tracy just said something interesting. She said, given the fact that the Bills are in second place in their division and the Chiefs are in third place in their division, she said, I can make the argument that this is as big of a game, regular season game, and what's at stake than there has been in this era of Bills, Chiefs, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes football. Would you agree with that?
I think there's an – I would agree that there's an argument for it. I don't know how seriously I take – now, look, I like the Chargers and Broncos, and I think the Patriots have been pretty good. So I don't want to dismiss their chances. But, you know, the New England's got to win a few more games against – maybe not a few, at least another game against a team that can walk and chew gum at the same time before I really, really look at them as a serious threat. They're a threat for sure. And the way the Chiefs have played lately, you almost feel like it's a matter of time before they're at the top of the division. The other part of this is, too – you know, even if they don't win the division, I don't – like the way the AFC breaks down right now, pretty much the wild card teams are going to be whoever doesn't win the division of Denver, Chargers, Chiefs, Bills, Patriots. So, you know, these two teams are probably going to the playoffs no matter what happens in this game. So I don't want to put too much emphasis on this. And then there's also the caveat that, you know, the last few times they played each other, the team that wins in the regular season loses to the other team in the playoffs. So there's already the historical precedent that – taking this regular season game and making it, you know, bigger than just another game probably doesn't make a lot of sense. So I don't really want to go there with it. You know, I think the other thing too is maybe not the more recent versions of this game, but there were a couple when the Bills were first ascending to where beating the Chiefs, and especially beating the Chiefs in Kansas City, meant something to where they were. So I think, you know, those games in terms of regular season importance were bigger than where we're at now, which, you know, that we've done this game so many darn times now that, you know, I was talking to some of the people in the office yesterday here in Rochester that, you know, a lot of the stories of this game we've done. You know, we've done the, you know, facing the Chiefs for the first time, what's it like to be in this game. When the Bills say this is just another game, it's a heck of a lot easier for me to believe them right now because of the number of times that we've done this before.
Thad Brown of the Western Hotline. Thad, I'm glad you're on because we just had breaking news coming from your neck of the woods. The Bills have announced a 3-year extension with St. John Fisher University just as we started talking.
Awesome. Yeah, this was expected. It's been talked about since the summertime. The thing with the Sean McDermott likes coming to Fisher. He likes having his team have that, you know, a couple weeks of bonding. He likes the setup. He likes the way it builds culture. And I think as long as Sean McDermott is pro that, then the Bills coming to Fisher is something that is going to be happening for a while. Since COVID, the two sides have been going at on a 1-year agreement every year. Just, we're going to come back this year. They talk at the end of the season, and sometime in February or March, they would agree to a new 1-year agreement. But like I said, over the summer, there was you know, talk that a long-term extension was in the offing. To be honest, I might be a touch surprised that it was only 3 and not 5 years. But either way, this is another indication that the Bills want to be at Fisher. Obviously, Rochester loves to have them. I've told you before, and anyone who asks, I will tell you that in this city, having the Bills here, even for that two-and-a-half-week span, whatever it is a big source of pride around here. And for St. John Fisher, you know, not only is it a source of pride, but I'm sure it's an economic driver in a number of ways. So everybody on our end of the equation loves it, and we'll do it as often as the Bills want to do it. And clearly Sean McDermott wants to keep doing it. So this is going to be, even though it's only for 3 years, I think that the Bills will be doing camp at Fisher as long as Sean McDermott is the head coach.
Do you know what I'm really happy about? I'm really happy to go there, obviously. But honestly, like, there's been so much talk from fans who have who've had a belief, and I know that it's not an unfounded. Like, I get it. That as soon as this new stadium is being built, there's no way they would do that. They would just have everything here, like all these other teams. And I know I've said, and you said, no. They what you just said. They like going away. Like, don't be surprised. And there's not a lot of room here. This is gonna at least squash all of that for the next few years. I like that part of it too.
Yeah, for sure. And look, there's an understandable part of it that there is a significant allocation of resources to building that new stadium, and you want to make the most use of it as you can. So, you know, that was a very logical thought to the future of camp, you know, maybe 18, 24 months ago. But from what I've been hearing over the last year or so, and you know, this just confirms it, I don't think the camp plans are going to change for quite a while.
Thad Brown on the West Her Hotline. All right, Thad. So Gabe Davis comes back to practice. He is no longer on practice squad injured. He's on the practice squad. I mean, after last week and Max Harrison just going bam, bam, bam and playing, I would give it a chance. Maybe you could see him this Sunday. A, do you think that's possible? And B, what do you think the impact could be if and when I think that Gabe Davis is going to play on the active roster at some point?
I don't think it'd be this Sunday. I don't think he'd be quite ready for that. It's been a long road coming back for him. You know, it's not like, you know, Mac Harrison injury was minor. He had a bye week kind of before, you know, the practice window opened. So we kind of felt like that this was something the Bills were doing maybe a little on the conservative side to give him time to get healthy anyway. So I don't think it'll be this week. It could be. It's definitely possible. As for the impact, I'm not sure. I know Gabe can obviously play in this league. He's familiar with what the Bills want to do. You know, part of adding any receiver, which has been a big topic of conversation, obviously, for a number of people in Western New York, is that if you do that, you have to take one of Keon, Khalil Shakir, or Josh Palmer off the field. Now, Palmer's injured, so he's conveniently off the field anyway. But in terms of the long-term impact of bringing a new receiver in, you're not going to take Khalil Shakir off the field. He's the most dependable guy the Bills got in that part of the game. Taking Keon or Josh Palmer off the field is an early admission of a significant asset spend that is not working out. Doesn't mean the Bills won't do it, but it is part of the equation. And as for Gabe Davis, he at the very least offers some quality size depth. Curtis Samuel and Elijah Moore have kind of been rotating around in that 4th-5th receiver spot. They don't offer you anything in terms of blocking in the run game or, you know, being able necessarily to be a more of a traditional X-type receiver where Gabe Davis can do that. So there is help there. But adding Gabe Davis to me doesn't really change the equation of what the Bills are doing offensively. It's just another solid, respectable, competent professional that will replace the other guys, which have pretty much been that already. So if this is the solution for the Bills, I would be disappointed, even if I wouldn't be shocked at all if Gabe Davis gets a very extended look to be a more of a contributor to what the Bills have already.
And if it is the solution, it's going to obviously really bring a lot of, you know, ire from fans because fans want a wide receiver traded for. Where do you fall on, you know, how much they should be willing to look into that, or at least I should say really be active on that as far as resources are concerned and what type of player they should be looking for?
I'm calling for everybody who I think is available. I'm at least calling. Okay. Because this is not only maybe the number one need, but I think this is the player where I think you can get the most immediate impact because of how constricted the offense appears. The Bills can run the heck out of the ball. We know that. The offensive line is great. James Cook is great. You know, end of story, end of sentence. But what they have downfield outside of Shakir just has not been good enough, and Dalton Kincaid to a lesser extent. If you add in, you know, a real impact receiver, you know, I really think it takes this offense to elite, do whatever you need to do all the way in deep into January, you know, type level. It doesn't mean that adding on a defense can't help, but on defense, you know, I think you'd have to make multiple moves there. You have to bring in a defensive tackle and maybe a safety or, you know, corner if you're not quite sure on Max Hairston in terms of his long-term reliability as a solution. So if you want to talk about one guy that can really make a difference, I think receiver is probably the best opportunity to do that. That said, that one guy is probably going to be pretty difficult to acquire. It's going to be a heck of a lot easier with the assets and the cap space the Bills have to find a defensive tackle to help out with the problem there or to locate a safety. So it's a tough call. I don't envy Brandon Bean's spot this time around because it feels like there are more needs than the Bills have had in the last couple of trade deadlines. But to me, if you're going to plant my flag somewhere, it's going to be find an impact receiver and see if that can, you know, put your offense at ludicrous speed.
What about a defensive tackle? Is that a position you think? Now, they did obviously sign Jordan Phillips to the 53-man roster, but it's an area where they're still a little thin, especially considering the injury to Daquan Jones. We don't expect him to play this week. We'll see how the week unfolds. We know that Noah Oliver's there. Is that an area where you think that they should look outside the organization or kind of keep balancing it internally given the resources?
Part of that is you know, what is the injury situation with Daquan Jones and TJ Sanders? How soon do they expect both those guys back? Because if you bring those two back, you know, you do have what the Bills at least would envision as a pretty competent rotation. I mean, you'd have, you know, Daquan and, you know, Deion Walker could ostensibly be the top two guys and TJ Sanders and Larry Ogunjobi after that. It's not going to excite anybody in terms of a defensive tackle rotation, at least how the guys are, you know, currently playing. I mean, a year or two from now, TJ Sanders and Deion Walker could be an entirely different conversation at D-tackle. But you'd have bodies, you know, depending on how soon those guys are going to be back. But if Daquan Jones is going to be another couple weeks, if TJ Sanders is a guy that's not going to be available until deep into December, then yeah, just to be functional, you probably need to bring somebody else in there. I mean, signing Jordan Phillips to the active roster was the bare minimum of covering for a defensive tackle. So it depends on how soon the two guys they have that they expect to be able to use there are going to be back. But yeah, I'd be looking around for defensive tackle too, which makes the receiver conversation a little more complicated, because if you're spending assets on the tackle, do you still have pieces left that you can spend at receiver? I mean, you can, but how much of your future do you want to mortgage on a team that's going to be cash strapped for the foreseeable future, that needs to hit on these draft picks to continue to stay functional? It's a spot that I think 25 other GMs would gladly trade for, but it is not the easiest of positions for sure.
Let's talk about a couple of things Sean McDermott said recently. I thought it was notable yesterday. He was specifically asked about Terrell Bernard and he didn't play last week. They said early in the game, we found out he was available on an emergency basis. He did suit up. He was active. He didn't play. It was Shaq Thompson. It was Joe Andreessen and Dorian Williams. And then this week in the media room, Sean was asked specifically, like, hey, when he's back, essentially, is it his job when he returns? I remember how it was phrased. Sean didn't kind of say that, though, Thad. He basically said, well, you know, he sees the field like a coach, and he's a leader out there, and all those really great things that you say. And I don't know. Am I reading too much into it? Think that's kind of notable for Sean McDermott to say it like that?
So after you brought this up to me, I went back and listened to it yesterday just to get the exact tone and everything. And I think the way he answered it was a little more about the injury. So to answer your question, am I reading too much into it? Maybe a little. But you're right in the fact that he never once made it clear that that's Terrell Bernard's job, and the Bills are fully confident with him doing it going forward. And I think it's a combination of, you know, Terrell Bernard probably has not had the year, health-wise or otherwise, that people would have hoped. But as we talked about yesterday, the best linebacker on this team right now is Shaq Thompson. And that's, mm-hmm. I think, inarguable. And to be honest, I think Dorian Williams has played better than expected. And the Bills played that game yesterday without their two top linebackers and put together one of their better defensive performances of the year. And that's a credit to where Shaq Thompson and Dorian Williams are at linebacker. And I don't know if you had all four guys fully healthy, if Sean McDermott would right now with a blanket statement say Terrell Bernard and maybe Matt Milano are out, but that's absolutely a consideration with what the Bills have seen from the four guys they've gotten. The two guys who are backing up the starters have been really, really close to that level, to where it wouldn't stun me to see any combo that you can dream up, you know, going forward from here. So, you know, if Shaq Thompson keeps playing the way he's been playing, it's just, frankly, it's hard to keep him off the field. And if that's at the expense of Terrell Bernard, there is a world where that makes some sense.
Okay, the other thing that we asked him about was right after the game, calling plays. It appeared from people watching TV, and then we got word on the sidelines, hey, let's take a look at this. And I couldn't tell necessarily was Sean McDermott calling the defensive plays. He always has a play sheet in his hand. But I get why people, you know, felt that, because it seemed like it was kind of him talking more than normal. And then we asked him, and he said it's a joint effort. He did not deny him having a role in calling plays. He didn't outright say he's doing it, though. He said it's a joint effort. What do you make of all that?
So, number one, you know, for all the McDermott skeptics out there, this was a little kerosene for the fire, because right after the Atlanta game, he was asked point blank, you know, have you considered taking play calling duties away from Bobby Babich? And he said no. Now, that was after the game where Bijan Robinson ran for like 10,000 yards in a new car. Well, this week, after the Bills hold Carolina to 9 points, 7 sacks, 3 turnovers, now Sean McDermott says that it's a joint effort. So whether that's relevant to, you know, what the Bills are going to do going forward on defense, I don't know. But if you're a McDermott skeptic out there, you can certainly say, there he is again. The thing about this is I would imagine that there are multiple times where the head coach is going to talk to the defensive coordinator about whatever, whether especially Monday through Saturday. But even during a game, when the offense is on the field at halftime, during one of the 18 timeouts you have during a game, I'm sure Sean McDermott is talking about, I want to do this, let's try this. Even to the point where going into a series, he might say, hey, if we get third and long this time, I want to run this. The question that I have is, there are a number of times in a game where you don't have the time for that conversation. So, for example, if it's 27-24, minute 30 to go, 3rd and 4 for the Chiefs at the Buffalo 40, and the Chiefs are running hurry up, I don't imagine Sean McDermott and Bobby Babich are having an extended conversation about what to call. One of the two of them is making the call. And right now we don't know the answer about who that is. I don't know if it matters much. I think both guys can do the job. But that who is making that call in that spot, that's the thing that's in question right now.
Thad Brown on the West Hur Hotline joining me, talking about the Bills and the Chiefs Sunday at 4 p.m. I'm glad that you said that he ran for 10,000 yards in a new car, because you can come down here to Northtown Kia. It's where I'm sitting right now. And, Thad, you couldn't take advantage of the donuts, but you can always take advantage of the Amherst Resale Center, Northtown's newest location for used cars. Check out over 20 quality vehicles priced under $15,000, perfect for first-time buyers, students, or anyone looking for a dependable set of wheels without breaking the bank. You have a daughter now going to college, right? She started college this year or last year?
This year, yeah. She's been at Binghamton for two and a half months now. Yeah. And enjoying it for sure. I mean, going through some of the growing pains that I think any teenager goes through, being on their own for the first time. But she was very excited to go there. I think as many 18-year-olds would, or as you would expect with many 18-year-olds, she's not too unhappy with being away from mom and dad for an extended period of time. So it's going well.
I totally get that. All right, so let's flip it over to the other side of the ball. Actually, real quick, on defense, Jordan Hancock, you expect him to sprinkle more in than what we've seen last week a little bit there with third play of the game he comes in for Jordan Poyer. It's a passing down, but do you expect more of that going forward?
I think, I don't know about more, but I think it'll continue to happen as long as Taylor Rapp is out. And, you know, he did have, they talked about it, that touchdown saving tackle on the one breakaway run that the Panthers had in the second quarter there. I will say it was not the greatest angle he took, but he made the tackle, which is what you need. So, Jordan Poyer, I know the Bills trust him. I know they feel like that he knows what he's doing, where to be. But obviously he's on very much the backside of his career athletically. Whereas Jordan Hancock, you know, he came into the league as kind of a nickel safety hybrid. I always thought he'd be much better as a safety. Well, now the door is open to kind of see if that's the case. So I think the Bills will still certainly continue to try it.
All right, let's look at the other side of the ball here, because obviously Joe Brady is facing a lot of ire from fans, especially after he said he has no concerns about the passing game. Now, I think that's a lot of coach speak. You want to show faith in your guys, and, you know, they are still winning football games, you know, for the most part. They're 5-2. But you do have Josh Allen, your MVP quarterback. Seems like they can't throw the ball downfield. There's always some blame to go around, Thad. We know that. But from your standpoint, when you watch games, when you watch film, is it more of a scheme issue? Is it more of a player issue? Is it even more of a quarterback issue?
Yeah, I think it's more of a player issue. And going back to the way Brady talked about it, you know, he said later, I think it was this week, he said, look, if I don't have confidence in my guys, how are they going to have confidence in themselves? And
right.
I think that's one of the smartest things he said. And I think he's totally right about that. As for the problem, the way I see it is there are not enough guys who are winning down the field, point blank, period, end of story. And this is including, you know, Khalil Shakir, Dalton Kincaid. They are better than the rest of the group, but they're still not, you know, high level in that way. Shakir's really good at breaking down his zone, not quite as good when he gets going against man coverage. So the way it looks to me is that, and Josh Allen talked about this, not directly, but if you read between the lines, after the, you know, Carolina game, he said, look, you know, there are times when I get too eager to make a play, when I'm not trusting what's downfield. And he's trying to put it on him. The way I see it as Josh Allen is telling you that there are too many times when I drop back and I look downfield and I go through my options, I'm saying, I'm losing there, I'm losing there, I'm losing there, I'm losing there. And the only option he feels like he has to make it work is the scramble. And you're seeing it. There were two or three plays where he left the pocket when there was absolutely zero pressure. It feels like, and I've been using this analogy all week, so I remember when you were growing up, there were those games that you play at home where it's like a little plastic container filled with water, and you got to kind of like let the basketballs float down into the basket. And as the ball, like if it's going bad for you, right, you see the ball's just trailing the wrong way, the only way to fix it is to shake the thing up really fast. Like, maybe this will help. When Josh Allen scrambles, that's him shaking things up. That's the only option he's got, because the way it looks in structure is just not working. And the tough part is that the Bills have a really good offensive line that generally gives Allen a ton of time that he can't take advantage of, because sitting back in the pocket is just a losing proposition for him. So the problems you have down the field are now bleeding into the protection, what the quarterback is trying to do, how he executes the offense. And I don't see how this gets better without bringing in a new body, because for the most part, these receiving options are mostly entrenched in how they are, how effective they are, what they do well, and just they don't do the things well enough the Bills need to unlock to just find a release valve for this passing game.
Hey, before I let you go, Lenny Ruff says Noah Oslin will go back down to Rochester. Amherst off to a good start, 6-2, and Isaac Rosine, 5 goals, 7 assists over the first 8 games. What have you seen from him?
Yeah, Isaac Rosine, by the way.
Thank you. I always do that. I'm sorry.
He's got like the most difficult name that I've ever seen in hockey to pronounce, and I know exactly what I'm saying. Look, he's probably too good for this league right now, bottom line. You know, I know that the Sabres have looked at him a little bit in Buffalo, but as a AHL player, as a AAA player, you know, he is as talented as it gets. And this team, you know, again, with Devin Levi down here again, this is a team that not only is very talented for this level, but they're now pretty experienced, especially at the top, for, you know, how to operate, what works here. And look, I'll tell you what, as a Rochester guy, as someone who covers this team, if we get Levi and Roseanne and this team into April and May, I am prepared for another long playoff run. I mean, they're really fun. They're really good. You know, obviously the vagaries of hockey season and injuries and anything else will change that. But the Amerks are, and it's unusual because this team is usually talented, but young and inexperienced. And this year, they're talented, young, and with a decent measure of experience. So it does make it exciting, at least the way things are set up for Rochester fans right now.
All right, Sunday, Bills, Chiefs, 4:25 p.m. on CBS, WROC-TV in Rochester, of course, where you can catch it. Also, Bills Kickoff Live. We're going to have a show still at 11 a.m., right?
Absolutely. Yeah, every week.
All right, so make sure people are tuned into that. And Thad, tell everybody where else they can follow you and all of the great content you're providing for Bills fans.
Yeah, Thad Brown 7 on X, Instagram. Also, we have a new digital channel, Rochester First. You download it to your Roku, your Fire Stick, your Apple TV. We have our Bills recap show there. We also do daily content, Monday through Thursday, half-hour show. You can find it on WIVB Plus 2 in Buffalo every night, 8:30 or 9. I think it's 8:30. We wrap up the day in whatever is going on with the Bills, talk about that week's game, opinions. You'll see Josh Reed, Carl Jones, occasionally Matt Perino on there too, all the guys here in Rochester. So a ton of stuff Bills-wise going on, at least in my life for now.
All right, buddy. I'll see you Sunday. I'll save you a donut, all right? Thanks for doing this
today. Appreciate it.
You got it. Thad Brown right there. All right, good guy right there, Thad Brown. Okay, we'll take a timeout here. Northtown Kia, 3900 Sheridan Drive in Amherst. That's where I am, Sal Capaccio, in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Paul Hamilton coming up. We're going to talk Sabres-Bruins tonight. Sabres are in Beantown to take on the Boston Bruins, a chance to climb over 500 here for the first time this year. We'll see if they can do that. We'll hear about it on the radio, and we'll hear from Paul Hamilton next on WGR. All right. Welcome back here to Northtown Kia. I almost missed my cue there. I was talking with some fine customers and fans of WGR that came by, listeners, to say hi at Northtown Kia. Come on down. 3900 Sheridan Drive in Amherst. Sal Capaccio with you. October is the month to get a Northtown Kia and get here for 0% financing on virtually every model. Get here through Saturday to get great financing through Northtown Kia on almost every new Kia in stock. Told you, my mom was just here walking around. She's looking at some of the hybrids they got going on. Some beautiful cars here. I love my Sorento that I drive. Got it from Northtown Kia last year. It's beautiful. I mean, come on down, folks. It's got some great deals here. I'm here for another half hour. We got Paul's Donuts here. We got Spinning the Wheel. You can grab some WGR merch. And we got Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline right now, who joins me to talk Sabres, Bruins tonight. Paul, I love what you said to Jeremy and Joe, and I agree. I mean, as far as a must-win game 10 games into a season, this kind of might be it, because you can't take yourself seriously if you can't beat the Boston Bruins after two tries this early in the season. And by the way, good morning.
Good morning, and absolutely. Look at what happened. Boston won their first three games. The Sabres was the third game. Right after that, they lost six in a row. Now they've won two out of three, but their goaltending has not been good. And I just asked Lindy Ruff, I said, you look back at that game, if you just would have had a good first period instead of the first period you had, you probably have a pretty good chance to win a hockey game. Because think about it. When Buffalo pulled the goalie for the extra attacker, it was only 2-1. As poorly as the Sabres played, and they were awful, it was only 2-1. Boston didn't score the empty net goal till 3 seconds were left in the game. So that was a one-goal hockey game that they could have, they scored with the goaltender, Polk could have gotten 1 or 2 points out of. So Lindy Ruff said there is a huge focus in the game plan today on the start. He's been very upset about their starts. He said, I can probably count two, and he goes, that might be being generous, of where they have had good starts. And he says, that has to improve, because we can't keep doing that. So it's something that is going to be a huge focus in today's game plan.
I mean, I find it fascinating. I remember, and I forgive me for comparing like a high school sport, but I do remember this. Like in high school, one time there was a basketball team we were on, And the same thing kind of happened. Good team, but always fast, always not having good starts. And I remember a coach saying, "You got this. You have to start the game in fifth gear. You can't start the game in first gear and ramp up. It's not how it works. You got to start in fifth gear, and then you start thinking, how do you do that? Do you put more into warm-ups beforehand? Do you, like, I don't know, do you take an energy drink? I mean, what's the secret, Paul? What do you? How do you start faster?"
Well, you know what's puzzling is last year their starts were very good, and it was the second period that killed them. Remember, they would give up like two, three goals. Like one goal would go in, and 2 minutes later, the next one goes in, and 1 minute later, the next one goes in, and you've given up three goals in a period. So that was a major focus over the summertime with the coaching staff. They did a huge deep dive into what can we do to have better second periods as a team. Well, that's successful, but now it's the first period.
Yeah,
you know, which was good last year. So that's kind of what's puzzling to me is, how did you do it last year where you came out smoking and you would get leads and you would take a 4-0 lead on Colorado, but your second period was so bad you wound up losing the hockey game? Or you took a 3-0 lead on Colorado in Colorado and your second period was so bad you ended up losing the hockey game. And they did it a lot. It wasn't just those two games. So it's just a mindset, and it's everybody being prepared. It's being ready to play. And I'm pretty sure you agree on this. I think we've talked about this before. Yes, coaches motivate, and I understand that. But this is the National Hockey League.
Yep.
And if you need Lindy Ruff to kick you in the pants to get you going, I don't think you should be in the National Hockey League. By now, you should be a pretty good self-motivator to be able to roll. And I don't think you should need a coach to have to get you going every game. And I don't know if you agree with that, but...
I agree. Yeah, I agree. The same thing in football. Steve Tasker said this very same thing on One Bills Live, and this is a former professional football player who said the same thing. He said, if you need a coach to get you motivated, get out of the league. Like, you don't belong here. Like, what are you talking about? Like, you have to have intrinsic motivation. There's a reason why you're playing this game. There's a reason why you're playing for your teammates and playing for, you know, what everything you're playing for that you're wearing the uniform for. All right.
And they need to be holding each other accountable in that room for it.
No doubt. Sabres at Bruins tonight, 7 o'clock. We'll have pregame coverage for you starting at 6 p.m. on WGR. Paul's going to be all over it at PHAM1717. Jordan Greenway, we expecting him back and making his season debut tonight?
Yeah, no, Oslin's going to go down. They haven't announced it yet, but Lindy Ruff confirmed that because he wasn't on the ice for the optional morning skate. And Noah Oslin, I've liked his defense, and Lindy will talk about it in pregame. How, you know, offensively is what he'll have to work on now. I think it will come. I think he will be a good two-way player, but I think it was good for him to come up here for a couple of games. He's not ready yet. I mean, he still needs, I think, some development in Rochester, and that's why he would be the guy going down. But even if Hellenius gets an opportunity to come up for a little while, I think that'd be great for him to see what the NHL is like in the middle of your development like that. So it's the right move, you know, to do that. So, you know, that will be the difference as far as putting Greenway in. That will open up a spot for him. He's playing center, and people think that's a little bit weird because they haven't seen him at center much. But he's played center for Lindy Ruff. He's played center for Don Granato. And he's played center when he was with the Minnesota Wild. So it's not anything foreign to him. And as Lindy Ruff told us, Josh Dunn basically is a center. When he plays in Rochester, he plays center most of the time. So he said, there is a plan B. He goes, if it's not going well and they feel they need to make a change, they can just slip Josh Dunn over to center and move Greenway over to the wing.
What about goaltending? I know the last I just heard and read from you was he wouldn't reveal his goaltender tonight. What do we expect there? Anything?
Yes, he wouldn't. But everything now, we didn't get a clue in yesterday's practice, which often we do when there are three goalies. Mm-hmm. But here, all three were out here for the optional skate. Two of them are still in front of me, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen and Ellis, which obviously I think will tell us that first goaltender off the ice is Alex Lyon, and he will
Alex
be in
Lyon.
That.
Okay. Alex Lyon then will anticipate him. And then what about going forward? Do you think that this is going to be kind of the norm where you really don't know and they're just going to kind of go with one of these three guys at some point? I mean, at some point – you would think decisions have to be made, but is this kind of the foreseeable future we're looking at?
Well, yeah, and Joe asked me earlier, and I actually took the same question to Lindy Ruff. I said, you're more qualified to answer it than me. And he kind of laughed. He goes, well, good, I'm glad you think I'm qualified.
Yeah.
You know, Lindy, he likes to have a little fun.
Yes.
But, you know, Joe's question was, is Lindy Ruff going to really work hard to get Luukkonen going? And my answer, which Lindy Ruff said is absolutely correct, is as the head coach, he has to go with the goaltender that he thinks is going to win you a hockey game that night.
Yep.
That's it. It's not getting anybody going. Remember last year when it was James Reimer, when Lindy down the stretch decided we're going to play these games like they mean something for the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And all but two games were James Reimer because he felt at the time the 37-year-old goaltender who was not part of the Sabres' future was going to give the Sabres the best chance to win. And that's what the coach's job is. He can't worry about getting a goaltender going or anything like that. You know, he said, you know, Lukanen will get his second chance at some point, but it's going to be if he feels that's the best chance to win a hockey game at the time that maybe Lyon is tired or maybe one of them is injured or something like that. So basically he's going to have to wait his turn.
Paul, why has the penalty kill been so great? They're number one in the NHL, 91.18% killed, the penalty kill. I'm looking at it right now. 3 of 34 chances against they've allowed, which is really awesome.
Well, Matias Samuelsson is back. He's playing like the Matias Samuelsson we saw early in his career, and that includes killing penalties. He has such a great reach. He and Timmins aren't afraid to block shots. The forwards aren't afraid to block shots. Alex Tuch is a master at stealing the puck, getting into lanes. When players don't think he has a chance to stop them, he not only stops them, but he'll swipe the puck. Last year, if you remember, he had 6 shorthanded goals, and he already has one this year from doing things like that. So they've been better at denying the entries for teams, making them go back and do it again. And the biggest thing, it's a cliche, but it is so true, very often your best penalty killer is your goaltender.
That's right.
And Alex Lyon has done and Ellis in the one game he played have done a phenomenal job while the penalty kill is going on, making the big saves when the big saves are needed, and that's a big part of it also.
Power play settled in a little bit after a really, really rough start. Much better lately. Now 13th in the NHL, 21.88. Anything that changed after that 0-for-11 to start the year?
Well, Josh Doan. I mean, that's going to be a mistake I'm going to be making all year. He went to the number one unit, and now you've got two guys around the net that are going to be there. You know that Zucker is going to be there, and he's a very good net front presence. Doan got the power play goal the other game. It wasn't a power play, but you know where he basically didn't get out of the zone, and he waited and stood right at the net. Most of his goals are going to be within 2 feet of the net. It's just where he is going to be and where he's going to score. And I've seen them work harder to win battles. I don't think they worked hard enough to win battles, and they would lose the battle, and the puck would go down the ice. And I think it's very important this year with a guy like Doan. And the second power play also has been doing pretty well. Quinn got a couple of power play goals there. Kulik, if I'm not mistaken, got one, if I'm going by memory here. And Tuch is on the power play unit also. But I think that's very important to be able to win battles so you're not always going back, having to retrieve the puck and then do your entries again.
All right, Sabres have a chance to get to 12 points tonight. That'll put them back to third place in the division. I mean, we've talked about it all year. This is going to be about winning. What is it? What's the goal here, Paul? It's 2 out of every 3, right? And then taking it in 10-game increments and winning 6 out of 10, right?
6 points out of 10 points. In 5 games, you have 10 points. So, and they did that in the second 5-game segment. They got their 6 points. They did not in the first. They only got 4. And as Lindy Ruff mentioned again, they have to make that up. He goes, there's going to have to be a segment where we get 7 or 8.
Yep.
And he goes, we had a great opportunity against Columbus and against Toronto. He goes, we left 2 points on the table. He goes, we should have won both games. We had the opportunity to win both games. And he goes, that's the thing. You cannot leave 2 points on the table. And he goes, that would have made up the 2 points they lost in the first 5. So that's something that is starting to annoy him, too, that they have leads late in games. They have to find ways to hold on to those leads when they've held on to them the whole game and figure out why and not give those points away.
One of 11 games tonight, and then Saturday night, Ovechkin and the Capitals come to Buffalo. It is the Sabres and Bruins tonight at 7, pregame at 6. Our guy, Paul Hamilton, as always, his appearances on WGR brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Thinking about today and planning for tomorrow, and by Raylax Honda. Raylax, we got this. Thanks a lot, Paul. Enjoy it tonight. We'll be following along, buddy.
I will. Take care.
All right. That is Paul Hamilton We will take a timeout here. We'll come back. We'll wrap up the show with some final thoughts on the Bills and the Chiefs coming up on Sunday, and a little bit of the roster maneuver and movement that we'll get into very quickly here as we head towards the end of this show from Nordtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer, right here at 3900 Sheridan Drive in Amherst. Sal Capaccio with you. We'll take a timeout here and come back and wrap up the Extra Point Show. Okay, Bills, Chiefs, Sunday. I said we were going to talk a little bit about the roster maneuvering, and I will get into that real quick. But, you know, we'll see today what the injury report holds. The Bills will be on the practice field a little bit later today, and then we'll get a practice report, an injury report from the team, and see where things stand with Daquan Jones and Josh Palmer, which I don't think they're, you know, on track to play at this point. But, you know, we'll see if there's any change. I think the two we're watching really are Matt Prater, who had a right calf injury, limited yesterday, and Shaq Thompson, who we knew he'd be limited through a vet rest day, but then he was listed as hamstring, which was like, interesting. So those are the two we'll be watching. And then, of course, how Gabe Davis continues to get through. Tonight kicks off week number 9 in the National Football League. Good Thursday night game, Ravens and Dolphins. And I say that not because of the record. I mean, combined, they're 4-11, right? But look, the Dolphins, I don't know how they did it, but they beat the heck out of the Atlanta Falcons last week, 34-10. And the Ravens suddenly have some life. Beat the Bears 30-16, and even though they only have 2 wins, I think they might be the betting favorite to win the NFC North. I mean, because they're the Ravens, and because Lamar Jackson is back. And look at the Ravens' schedule going forward, folks. Dolphins, then Vikings, then Browns, then Jets, then Bengals, then Steelers, then Bengals. I mean, they have winnable games, very winnable games. However, I will say, as much as everybody gets a little bit scared about, oh my God, here come the Ravens, They still need to fix their defense, which hasn't been very good this year overall. Even including the Bills scoring 41. They allowed 38 against Detroit, 37 against Kansas City, 44 against Houston. So that is something. I don't care if you're Lamar Jackson or not. You still have to stop people, and right now the Ravens haven't been able to do that as much this year, but last week was better. They only allowed 16. They got healthier, no doubt. That is a big part of it. So tonight is an interesting game. Here's the question, though. Joe Cali, who should Bills fans want to win this game? Miami or Baltimore?
Oh, see, that's tough because you almost want to root for Miami in a sense. I know. Sounds like sacrilegious to say, but in all seriousness, it would help to keep Pittsburgh on top and keep them out of the playoffs. So you almost do want the Dolphins to be able to win this one. I don't think they will personally, but you almost do want to root for them.
The Ravens are 2-5. If a loss would bring them to 2-6, they're currently the 12 seed in the AFC. 13 is Cleveland. Excuse me, at 2-6. It's also where Miami is. Miami would jump up into a, 11-12 area. But Miami right now, division wise, if you say, well, I want Miami to win, I think that might be the right call because they're still 2 wins back of Buffalo. There's still 4 losses, and the Bills have a head-to-head, right? And they play again next week.
Yeah.
I would say, though, the only thing you have to be careful of is Miami does have 10 days to get ready for the Bills next week in Miami. So, you know, the Dolphins start to kind of figure it out a little bit here, which you never know. Last week looked like they were on the right track to do that against Atlanta. They start to figure it out here a little bit. They win this game, then suddenly, somehow, they beat Buffalo next week. Now you're talking about a much different type of looking season because look at their schedule. Washington, which I know with Jaden Daniels, they're better, but they have not been the same Commanders we thought they'd be. And then they get the Saints and the Jets after that, after a bye week. So some winnable games for the Dolphins, too. But, yeah, I would expect Baltimore to take care of business tonight in Miami. But I do think it's an interesting game. I do think it's a game that's, for rooting purposes, you could go either way on. Okay, that is week number 9. And then the rest of week number 9 we'll get to tomorrow because I'll be back tomorrow on our regularly scheduled Football Friday, Nordtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And tomorrow, Sean McDermott's going to join me for his weekly radio appearance. That should be a little after 11 a.m., I'm being told, but you never know when it happens during the 10 to 12 hours. So Sean McDermott tomorrow on the Nordtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And, of course, Patrick Hammer is going to join me. We always talk weather on a Friday. And this weekend, weather, going to be really interesting because we have a bit of a rain system here, a little bit of a cold front in. How much will stay around for Sunday's game against the Kansas City Chiefs? We'll find out tomorrow with Patrick Hammer. In the meantime, Sabres live up next. Sabres take on the Bruins tonight in Boston. 6 p.m. pregame here on WGR. 7 o'clock, the puck drops. Then, of course, it's One Bills Live. Show up with the Bulldog at 3. I'll join them at 5 p.m. Have the rest of your day a great day. And, of course, come down here and say hi at Northtown Kia when you get a chance. I'll be leaving, but a great staff here can take care of you as well at 3900 Sheridan Drive in Amherst.
Ring Business puts you in control with protection that's flexible, secure, and easy to set up. No long-term contracts required, just security on your terms. Take control of your business security with Ring Business. Get 24/7 audio video recording to capture everything and look for specific moments efficiently with smart AI search. Install it easily yourself or let our pros do it for you. With Ring keeping your business secure, you can focus on what matters most. Running it. Compatible subscription required. Additional restrictions apply. Visit the Ring Business page on r.com for more information.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This podcast is brought to you by Kleenex Lotion Tissues. You can't predict sick days, but with Kleenex Lotion Tissues, you can be better prepared for them while helping keep your skin healthy. Whether it's a surprise sneeze or a stuffy nose, it's always good to have something gentle on hand. Kleenex Lotion Tissues moisturize to help prevent skin irritation while you're battling those unwanted cold and flu symptoms. It's extra care when you need it most. I mean, why not have one less thing to worry about when you're not feeling your best? For whatever happens next, grab Kleenex.